Welcome to the Kick Pod, your weekly D&M on the stuff that matters. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome back.
Welcome. I miss this.
Same. Yeah. You know what I miss? When I have random thoughts that I want to talk about to you on the podcast, things that are just like really a bit bizarre and random.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I just don't want to have normal conversations about this on WhatsApp. I need to save this for my notes under podcast.
What have you saved for me? Have you got anything?
A few things. They're pretty random, but do you want to just get straight into it?
Yeah, let's just get straight into
it. Okay. So the first one
is
there's a reel that a lot of cool couples are doing at the moment.
Okay.
Everyone listening, I haven't showed Steph this yet, so I'm going to have to explain it to Steph as I am to you, because I wanted you to tell me, first of all, before I relay my judgment, would you do this? It is the Like a River one, and it's like super impactful.
Right.
We'll play the song on here. Oh,
do we know how to do it?
We can. I'm going to show you, Steph.
Like a river. That one?
Yep. Yeah. Okay, so you get the vibe.
Yeah.
So basically it's a fashion reel where a couple will put on clothes, or sometimes one person does it by themselves, and like at each beat drop, another item comes on.
Okay.
And I was just thinking when I saw that, like, oh my goodness, if Dalton and I attempted that with a serious face, first of all, it would take us 4 days. Does it take people 4 days? Because you have to like look all good and be so serious and then like get the beat drop right and then be in the same position and the other partner has to like jump in at a cool time.
Why was his pants off?
Well, that was a certain one, but there's lots of different versions of this. But basically it's couples getting dressed with all these like beat drops.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm thinking this would take 4 days for Dalton and I to do. Also, we wouldn't make it to the 4 days because we would have broken up, because I don't – like, it's really impressive.
Yeah, okay.
Would you do it?
We could try. Are you asking me to
No, I'm thinking like, is this something that you were like, oh, yeah, Josh and I already filmed one.
Oh, no. Okay. No, we have not.
A parents one maybe.
No.
Maybe we could do one with Harvey.
Dress Harvey on each beat. No. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's very clever on the beat.
Anyway, that was my one. I've got one more. One more random thought. Sure. Okay. How do you feel when Josh calls you Steph?
Like I'm in trouble or something?
Agree. Isn't it weird? Dalton called me Laura the other day and I was like, don't call me that. And he's like, that's your name?
Yeah.
And
I
was like, nah, it's weird when you call me that.
Yeah, which is funny because I remember there's been times where I've said Josh, and I think depending on the context, you're like saying their name, obviously, but he like really likes it sometimes. And he's like, oh, you called me by my name, and he liked it. And I was like, okay, it's your name. So I think maybe it's in the...
I'm such a sicko. My head went somewhere else then.
You went sexual, didn't you? No, I don't mean like that. But like, I don't know. If you just... No, I can't. I can't even have an example. But yeah, sometimes when I say his name, he actually really likes it. But I think I'm the same. I think I prefer nicknames and stuff. If he says Steph, I feel like I'm in trouble.
Yes. Yeah, so anyway, that was like, that's so weird. I didn't know I'd find this so weird. And that was another thing I wrote down. Anyway.
Nice.
I just also wanted to say that I'm very sorry to, and sincerely sorry for obviously everything happening in Sydney and the lockdown.
Yeah.
When I read the, I think it was the day that they went to 77 cases.
Did it take you back?
Oh my, I was literally reading the article and I said to Dot, it was so weird. Like I literally started crying and I was like, I just, it took me back. And I know there's a lot of people that are like, oh, you know, Melbourne went through it. So now like it's Sydney's turn. I obviously do not think that way at all, because it is the worst. And I just think to know that you guys, anyone that's listening in Sydney are now going through this, like just so sorry that you have to now experience this. You will get through it. Yeah. It is just... It's hard.
It is hard. And it feels like, because I've had a lot of people from Sydney kind of reach out and say, you know, because they know that we went through, I mean, we were in lockdown majority of last year and they've kind of asked for, you know, tips and everything like that on how to stay positive. But the truth is, like, I really struggled to stay positive last year. And I think you have to kind of let that happen. You've got to like just feel all the emotions, and there's nothing like magical that can kind of snap you out of it. I mean, there's little things that you can do, you know, practicing gratitude, practicing mindfulness, you know, meditation, all these different things that can kind of bring you back and make you feel grateful for what you do have and the little things and the silver linings of it all. But at the end of the day, it sucks.
100%.
And I think it's reminding me, because like as their cases are growing and, you know, their lockdown is like extending, it's just reminding me of every press conference that we used to like tune into last year. You would just get so anxious listening to the press conference, and then every single one of them ended in tears because it was extended again, or, you know, there was something else, there was more rules or something. So yeah, heart goes out to everyone in Sydney. I mean, no doubt it's probably going to start affecting the rest of us here in Australia as well. I just feel like being smack bang in the middle of winter, and I don't know, I feel like we're still not on top of how we actually stay on top of this thing. So fingers crossed though, fingers crossed. Fingers you guys are out of it crossed. Soon, and it's just confined little area, but yeah, it's a scary thing.
It is. What was your one lockdown thing that helped you the most?
Oh, I think honestly moving my body. I was like, I got to like the fittest I've ever been last year before I got pregnant. And it was just because doing something like that for me, you know, getting my workout in, it was like a snippet of my routine, my normal routine. You know, whilst I couldn't have my perfect routine, which I'm not really that much of a routine person anyway, but what I mean is like a touch of normal life in what felt so abnormal, being stuck at home, you know, getting my kick workout in and being able to kind of connect with the kick community, that was a huge thing that pulled me through. And staying motivated for them, not just myself, I think that really helped me. But again, there was days when I wasn't motivated and I didn't move my body. And like, that's okay. I just let myself kind of go with the flow and go with those emotions. But what about you?
I agree. Yeah. I'm like routine. Like if I'm not in a routine, I'm like yeah. have severe anxiety. So I was routine. I just had to do some, like do that workout at the yeah. start of my day. And I think the hardest thing with COVID is not much else really was controllable during the day,
exactly.
but at least I knew. And what I found was getting up at my normal time was very important, because the later, because obviously if you start work at 9, you can technically wake up at 8:45, yeah. so you're not going to be fresh at 9.
Yeah.
But the feeling for me of waking up and going straight to my desk,
yeah.
I felt so
groggy and
yuck yeah. the whole day, just not like I just didn't feel like me, and I just felt a bit like, oh, I haven't even, you know, just in your house. And then it's so funny because then you get to a point where you don't even want to go to the supermarket because you can't be bothered.
Yeah.
So starting the day with something where you like your normal routine and that workout, and yeah, doing a kick workout in the morning was just for me the number one thing yeah. that helps. And then getting outside and listening to podcasts, going for a yeah. walk really helped too.
Yeah.
But yeah, and speaking of that, if you do want to come and join us at Kick and you are in Sydney, or if you're anywhere, obviously you're so welcome. We are in week 3 of the Strength Challenge, so you can join us now. It doesn't matter, we're already into it. Mm. You are welcome at any time, and of course you can go back and try all of the masterclasses. There are so many masterclasses in the app, and I think what I've loved about the challenge, I mean, obviously we're not in lockdown in Melbourne, but winter is very hard to find motivation to exercise because it's dark when you wake up and cold. So I've found personally doing the challenge workouts and knowing that I've got them scheduled in has helped so much. So if you do want to try Keep It Cleaner, we have got a 7-day free trial. You can join us. You can cancel at any time on our website, www.keepitcleaner.com.
Mm-hmm. And then if you do join, make sure you join the Facebook community, because especially if you're in lockdown as well, it's a really great way to stay connected to some people.
And now for your special share, I reckon ours are the same.
Oh, really?
Okay, maybe not. What is yours?
special share is Yellowstone.
Okay,
so it's not the same. Yep. And it is a show that Kat in our team first recommended to me, and I kind of forgot about it for a long time. And then Josh and I were looking for a show, and he's really into country music, and it's a kind of country western, you know, bad drama kind of vibe thing. That was a really bad way of explaining
you
it.
You should contact them and
all right,
you need a new description.
And we watched the whole thing. There's a fourth season coming out.
Where do we watch it?
Oh, we watch it on Stan.
Okay.
And yeah, the episodes are really long. They're like between 45 minutes to an hour long. But a few people that I've spoken to about it have said, oh, really? I watched a couple of episodes and I didn't get into it. It gets better. It gets more intense. So I think the first couple of episodes you kind of push through, and then it just gets hectic, and you just get really, I don't know, we got really, really into it. And even though the episodes were an hour long, we would watch like a couple in a row. And so if you're into that kind of thing, that kind of like family drama,
family breaking
the law, lots of people die. It's, you know, obviously that's not great, but it's a lot of drama.
My type of
no, I don't think it is.
I watched the first, well, it was a long time ago, but I watched the first 10 minutes and I was like,
yes,
there's a sad thing that happens.
Very big warning. Oh, I feel like you need to know this. Kat told me this before I watched it. Literally in the first scene of the first episode, a horse gets put down and it's it shows quite a lot. So once you get over that, expect that kind of thing from there. I think that's why they've put it at the start of the first episode so people know, like,
this is what you're in for.
This is what you're in for.
This type of –
it's a lot.
What's it?
I don't know. What word
do you violence?
Mean? Violence. Yeah, but it's
anyway, I don't know. It's we really not liked a family it. Show. It no. is a family drama, but it is not to be watched with the family. Love it.
What is yours?
Mine is yours. You know what mine is, and you said we need to talk about this on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Steph, myself, and our friend Bina went.
We need to unpack this.
We need to unpack this. So we went to Magic Mike, which is showing now until October. Mm. In Melbourne, and then it's going to Perth, I think. So obviously, if anyone that doesn't know what Magic Mike is, there's a movie. It is
Channing Tatum.
Yes. What is the synopsis?
I mean, they're male strippers, and Channing Tatum, he like kind of didn't want to do it, but then they talked him into it, and he was really good, and that's pretty much it. Anyway, but it's a really good movie as well. I'll give you another show.
So watch the movie first.
You can watch the movie first. You don't have to though to enjoy the show. The funny thing is though, I mean not the funny thing, the show, like I think there's a misconception that it's just strippers or something, but they're all incredible dancers. It's a real act. It was a show and a half.
Honestly, Steph and I walked back in and Dalton and Josh were together and we were like, oh my God, we just had the best night ever. And they were like, okay, you both are on another level.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Shush. Anyway, we were, I've never smiled and laughed. For a long time have I smiled and laughed that much. No, it is the best. And the best thing as well, I wasn't sure what to expect.
Yeah.
The first kind of minute of the show, you're like, oh, goodness. But then the main character is an incredible woman.
The MC. Yeah.
Yes, the MC. And she is awesome.
Yeah.
They speak about consent.
Oh, yeah.
So I love the way they have done it is just, and if you're going out for a night out and you want something really fun to go, I would recommend. I went twice. I felt like one of the lovely guys came up to me in the show and said, welcome back. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed that I'm here again. But I came back with some of our kick team because I was like, you guys have to come and see. It was lots of fun. And we had so much fun.
We did. It was a really, really fun time. You can like get a drink before and you can get nibbles and a drink while you're watching it. It's a good time.
It's obviously an adult show, but it was a lot of fun. I would say that's a combination of both of our special shares because we both enjoyed it.
Yeah. So this is the part where we usually go into a D&M, but today's podcast is actually a motherhood kind of topic, D&M sesh with Em, a girlfriend of mine who's coming in soon. So we're going to save the D&Ms for that part of the podcast. But Lawsy, I think you've got some clumsy stories or a clumsy story to share.
Yes. Thank you so much to our amazing – I don't know. I will keep this anonymous, obviously, because I don't want to say it and then you'd be like, no, but – I feel like thank you to this lovely woman who has made me feel better about being
clumsy.
So clumsy. Yeah. So the clumsy story is not from me this week. So thank you very much for this. So she has two, which is just, that's like me. Sometimes two things happen in a week. So number one, she was sitting on a plastic garden chair with her boyfriend, thought his arm was up higher and leant back and then went flying and landed on her back on the cold concrete, giving herself a minor concussion.
Oh, God.
I haven't concussed myself before, so I'm sorry about that. And worse, it was caught on the security cameras to be watched over and over.
But that's kind of fun, though.
I think that makes it better. It was worth it. No, it's never worth it. Concussion is not good, but lol.
Yeah, I feel like if you can watch something like that back, it's a bit of a lol. That's funny.
And number two. Doing a home workout, I hope it was a kick one, and running back and forth, running backwards, tripped over my own feet, went flying backwards, landing on the baby gate of my door, and now I have a pole mark on my back from the baby gate.
Oh, ouch.
Okay, tripping over your own feet and flying backwards is
Yeah.
Definitely something I've done, and it is.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty. And the mark on her back reminds me of actually a clumsy story from me.
You never have them.
I know.
What have you got?
This is from a few years ago at a Bondi Sands party. I was dancing on the table. It was a very fun party, obviously. My foot, I stepped off the side of the table accidentally as I went to kind of drop down into a squat position, a dance
you
move.
You did it.
Squat drop.
Whatever yep.
they're called.
You dropped it low.
And yeah, but my foot slipped off the edge of the table as I did it. And I sat on a glass cup. I think it was like one of those, like almost like a scotch glass. So like a pretty
did
solid
you smash
one.
It?
I broke it with my butt and I had this perfect black circle on my butt, which eventually turned into this like really dark bruise, like all over colored in circle for months. It was
oh my god,
very sore.
I feel like we all have. Do you remember at my my birthday, the surprise one? It was a few years ago,
yeah.
And I did that drop,
yeah,
because I think get low. Oh, maybe it wasn't get low because that's more of a slow drop. This was like a very quick, like
you just
are you doing a kick workout yeah. kind of drop,
yeah.
And I went straight onto the corner of our couch, which was wood, remember?
That.
And I yep. had blood on the back yep. of my dress. And I literally had, remember the bruise?
Yep.
Yeah, it was huge. But anyway, that was a battle scar of my yeah. wonderful dance. So it was worth it. Anyway, so thank you so much for sending that clumsy moment in for us.
Yes.
Now, for today's episode, I'm leaving the room because I would have probably made too many jokes in this and you would have been like, this is a serious conversation, Laura. Keep it serious. So I'm leaving.
No.
And you're saying, so tell us, what are you going to talk about?
So I've got my girlfriend Em joining me today. She is part of my little mother's group that we've created ourselves with
this
another.
Was the mother's group that you wouldn't tell. Remember when I was, you were like, I've made these really two beautiful mother's group friends on the podcast. And I was like, who are they? You were like, oh, I can't say just in case like they don't
well,
feel.
Well, because I sounded like a fangirl the way I was talking about them the first time. And I was like, this weird, but they were very helpful throughout my pregnancy because they were a little bit ahead of me. And as I've spoken to you guys about, you know, having people like that to kind of connect with and bond with over everything that's going on has been awesome and really important for me and my mental health. And anyway, so as new mums, we got together and, of course, you have the council mothers groups that can be put together, but because we're already kind of communicating
online.
Does
that mean you're like, when you get your mother's group sent through, you're going to be like, sorry, I'm too cool. I've already got one.
Well,
I feel like you should be open to it.
I'm going to be open to it. I will. But I think they're mainly for people who have no one else to connect with. If you've got other people to connect. Anyway, whatever. I love my mini mother's group.
Like, I'm already connected.
We catch up every fortnight and we have some great chats and it got me thinking, you know, the kind of mother's group chats where, you know, you talk about that sort of thing and you're really open and you just want advice from each other. That's the kind of podcast we've got coming up. So we've got a couple of DMs that you guys have sent in. We'll chat through and, yeah, it'll just be a bit of a new motherhood chat.
Looking forward to listening back.
Thanks, Laws. Hello, Em. Welcome to the Kick Pod.
Thanks for having me. I feel free and very alive today.
Yeah, we're baby free at the moment. Do you feel weird?
It actually, I was sitting down there and I'm like, oh, what do I do with my arms?
I find myself like, I don't know if you're doing this yet, but when I went to the supermarket the other day, I was rocking the trolley back and forth and I didn't have him with me and I just laughed at myself because I was like, oh my God, that's what I'm so used to doing at the pram.
Yeah, or you're standing up and you're just kind of like
bobbing.
Bobbing or rocking.
Oh, hard to be a mum. So how old is little Jack now?
Geez, prepared me for everything but this.
The weeks really
one, two, three, four,
just go by, don't they?
Oh, God. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Oh, crap. He's six. I almost swore then. He's 16 weeks. He's almost, his form, you alerted me that the weeks and the months are different, but
isn't
he's 16 weeks and 4 months next on the I don't know. Oh, my gosh.
You know what?
He's 4 months.
He's around 4 months.
He's around 4 months.
So Em, you know, as I said to you guys, is in my little mini mother's group. Love our little mother's group.
I love it.
It's a good little catch
it's
up.
Very fun.
And I wanted to get you on, Em, because we do a segment on the Kick Pod called Kick Pod D&M, and we usually do it at the start of every episode, but sometimes we do a complete episode on it when we've got a lot of good ones, and we've got some really great ones kind of on motherhood. So I thought it would be a good idea to get you in so that there's maybe two of us giving out.
Two people that make it up as we go are very good ex.
Yeah, I mean, like, both of us aren't really, you know, I feel like we're not as switched on as maybe we used to be. So maybe both our half brains can combine together as one.
Make one. I feel like we should have a disclaimer because we always say this when we catch up is we are not experts. Yeah. And we are not going to claim to be experts. No,
absolutely not. Absolutely
we make not. It up as we go. Mm-hmm. And yeah, everyone does it differently.
100%.
Every baby is different. I don't want to start this with people thinking
we've got it.
We're well researched. We've read all this. We keep our kids alive. That's the most
important thing.
And we're sane. That's really all you need.
Absolutely. And yeah, with these DNMs, I just thought that they were such good topics that probably would come up in a mother's group. So it's just going to be that kind of chat, guys.
Oh, so we're going to talk about the things we talk about in mother's group.
I mean, we might get who knows. So the first DNM, she's kind of got two questions in one here, but I'll just read through the whole thing. My family and a lot of close friends are in Perth and I haven't yet met my baby due to border restrictions. I think she's in New South Wales. My first mother's group meeting is going to be virtual, not face-to-face, and I feel like that's going to make it a bit harder to build relationships with other mums. I was meant to start mums and bubs group Pilates classes as well here, but in New South Wales, gyms are now closed. Can only really get out of the house by going for a walk, but my new mama friends are in other suburbs, so we're unable to socialise freely during the week. I'm sure there's lots of silver linings. What and were they for you? Because obviously we kind of went through this during our pregnancy last year. And I'll wait. Actually, the second part of the question I can answer later. So, okay. I mean, ask later. So, what were kind of silver linings, I suppose, in, I mean, we're in our pregnancy, not in our new mum stage, although we did go through that short lockdown when we both had bubs. But, yeah, what are some new, I mean, silver linings that kind of got you through?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I'm really sorry that she can't, her family can't meet her baby, first of all, because that's really hard. And I know a lot of Victorian mums experience that. And it's really sad. And it's okay to be sad.
Yeah.
It's okay to feel that way.
Absolutely.
Silver linings, especially during my pregnancy, I was very, very sick. I went through hospital care from week 5 to 16, and that was all during lockdown. So no one actually knew how sick I was.
You wouldn't have been able to have any visitors,
No visitors. We could get permission to have carers over. Mm-hmm. But the silver lining was that my husband was actually working from home.
Yep.
So he could look after me and care for me, and that was really positive. And we did have to stop and think about the positives, and that's, you know, quite hard to do sometimes when you're feeling flat, and especially be kind to yourself because hormones are a thing.
Oh, my God, absolutely.
In pregnancy and with a newborn, like everything, highs are higher and lows are lower.
Absolutely.
So you're going to be feeling this roller coaster of emotions more than anything before. Silver linings, I think too, just getting to know your baby and having that time. I think in some cultures and traditions, you're actually at home with your baby for the first, I think it's 30 or 60 days. Yeah. And that's a cultural thing.
Yep. Yep.
And there's something to that.
Yeah.
That connection between mum and baby.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There are different things. I feel like naturally I go to plug the kick bump community because I'm like, well, that is kind of if like you can go for a walk with someone that you find on there and your postcode with a baby the similar age or I would say still go to the mother's group too because even though it's virtual, you just might connect with one person and they'll still probably start a WhatsApp group or something like that. But you got to put yourself out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that was the one thing when we had that kind of restriction last year of the 5K radius, that was really hard because I wasn't near any of my family or friends really. I mean, Laura was literally the only friend that was within 5Ks, which very luckily she's my best mate and my business partner, so that was very helpful. But that was really tough because you didn't see family for so long. And a lot of my friends barely saw me pregnant. And it was like, you know, one day I told them I was pregnant and the next day he was almost due, which was really strange because it was, I mean, in my mind it was a, you know, a really exciting time to share with everyone else, but I didn't really get to. But I think for me, the silver linings were my lifestyle is usually really hustle and bustle and really, really go, go, go and traveling a lot. So I think to have the, I suppose, excuse to just stay home and, you know, whilst it was when I was pregnant, to be able to kind of be with Josh in that moment and have some really special time together alone. I mean, we had to have Christmas alone in the end because we were in isolation.
So that sucked, but
and you know, the rest of Victoria were out by then, so that was really hard to see everyone else out. But at the end of the day, we were like, you know what, this is our last Christmas alone. From now on, we're going to have a baby, which is obviously super exciting, but it was kind of special in itself. So just trying to flip it into a positive. But again, exactly what you said, I think you need to let yourself feel those shitty, sad feelings because it's a shit situation. And I think what you said about connecting to other mums virtually, you know, whether it's through the Kick Bump community or your community mothers group, whatever it is, they might not. It's intimidating. It really is. But even with you and Tracy, But even with you and Tracy, like I'd met you guys a couple of times, and you know, we'd kind of connected more so through pregnancy, and it was really just sliding into each other's DMs. To be honest, is where the relationship really boosted, and then we finally caught up. You know, so totally. If there's people that you can connect with that are in your space and in your area. Really do put yourself out there and go and meet with them because it's crazy the bond you have with someone just because of like what you're going through.
Yeah, I was going to say that you can have nothing in common. Yeah. I mean, we have a bit more in common.
Yes.
I think it's great finding other mums that, you know, for us it's that we are juggling work and a baby and we can relate on a lot of different levels. But no matter if you don't have anything in common, you still have a baby and within those few weeks you're still going to be going through similar things. And there's a lot that you can relate to. I think silver linings, even just getting out, making sure you're getting outside, getting fresh air, is a really, really good one.
Absolutely.
And I think what was I gonna say? See, this is the baby brain. Yeah. I was gonna say that something silver lining.
Mm.
You don't have to buy all these clothes and I didn't have to buy anything in my so many things. I'm like, in lockdown for pregnancy, didn't have to buy anything, just basically in Qantas pajamas the whole time.
Yeah. And then even like for bub, if you're not taking them anywhere, I mean, they live onesies anyway.
Zippies.
Yeah.
Don't overcomplicate
things. Absolutely. They grow so bloody quick. The other question she asked was, is there any situations or like have you ever noticed with movies, shows or books that you experience completely different now as a new mum? I liked this question.
Funny one. Probably everything I think you experience differently.
It's just a whole, I think, well, for me, we were watching, what's the new movie with Kevin Hart? Fatherhood.
Oh, yes, I watched that too.
And, like, I would always cry to that kind of movie. Like, I'm a big crier. But there was just this whole other level, I think, of emotion. Even Josh was, like, bawling his eyes out because we had Harvey sitting next to us on the couch while we were watching it. And that first scene, I'm not going to ruin it for people who haven't seen it, but, like, the first part of the movie was heartbreaking. And we were just, I think because we'd just kind of been through childbirth, it was like, oh my God, what it's a full on thing to go through. And just the idea of it all and what happens, I don't want to ruin it, but
it's a good movie. It's fun.
And I think when you've actually been through it as well, you just like have this whole other connection, this whole other emotional level when it comes to anything. I think now whenever I watch a show with a kid or anything, even Yellowstone, you know, something happens with the little boy. I'm not going to ruin it for anyone who hasn't watched Yellowstone, but something happens with the little boy and it was horrible. Like I was like, I'm never leaving you alone ever.
They're like a gangster family. Yeah. Like, yeah, I can relate to that.
Country western.
Yeah, I think a lot of different things. You're very much more aware of the environment that you have, that you create with you and your family. Mm. You're much more appreciative of your own mum and mother figures in your life.
Yes.
You have a much greater understanding of, even a lot of my friends had kids, but you just don't get it.
Yep.
There's a lot of things that you just don't get until you have a kid. You don't understand how important being there at the time you say you're going to be there is and just communication.
Yeah.
I think for us with what we've been through with Jack, he's just had a bit of stuff since he was born, obviously being in and out of hospital.
Yeah.
We had empathy towards, obviously, sick kids is the hardest thing to see ever.
Absolutely.
But now, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like just having such empathy towards families and kids and just appreciating how great community is. Like so many people are brought together by a child.
Yeah.
our neighbours, who we only just moved into this street a few months ago, left gifts on our front door. Like people, the guy that installed my blinds brought us a baby present. Like we were just overwhelmed by how generous people are. And we were just like, wow, we've really not turned up for people as much as we should have in the past. But you just...
Until you experience it, you don't know. I agree completely. I think because we were the first in our friendship group and our family to have a baby, and I think now I can't wait for all my friends to have kids if that's what they choose to do, because I'm like, I feel like I'm just going to be so good. I'm going to like not be there for long. I'm going to take them fresh bread or milk or whatever. Like I know all the little things that really helped me, and you're so right. It really makes you think about things so different. And when you said about the whole like environmental thing, you know, creating that kind of thing around your family, I think one thing I've noticed with Josh is, you know, as partners, you argue, you fight, but and especially right now, you know, hormones are a whole nother thing, and sleep deprivation does not help. But like, you know, when we've had a moment where we're arguing about something, it's like if Harvey's in the room, we snap out of it so quickly, because it's like, no, we don't want this kind of energy around him. Like, and we're so quick to kind of think about how that might reflect on him, and you know, as he gets older, what that's like, we don't want him around that. And it kind of makes you, I don't know, more aware of that, and I think more caring towards the other person almost. It's weird how much they make you realize and open your eyes up to other things.
100%. Your time management and the people that you put around yourself become such a priority, because you don't have time to waste on friendships and relationships and that aren't beneficial
for
both parties, that aren't healthy.
Yeah.
And so you just like, you just kind of give less shits.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Yes, you can. No, it's true.
You just give way less shit.
You do. I love it.
It's so good.
I love it.
It's like freeing. I don't know. Like, we're not taking our bras off or anything in here, but it feels...
No. I mean, I can't do that. You know what? I miss that. I miss being able to not wear a bra.
I really miss not being able to take my bra off when I go to bed. Yeah. When can we do that again?
I know. I feel it's weird. I'm a nudie rudy sleeper as well, so it just feels a bit weird, like... having to wear a bra. But anyway, actually on that topic, last night Harvey like zonked out after one side, so I didn't get to feed him on the other side. So I was so like, okay, cool, like he'll just go down. And I was really expecting him to wake up after a couple of hours, but then he slept through, and so my own body woke me up at like 4:30 because my boob was going to explode. And my top, even though
I
had like
a breast pad this time?
Yes, I did. But because it was so full and I was kind of wearing like, it's not a bra, but it's sometimes I try and sleep in it instead of a bra because, as we just discovered, we both hate wearing bras. It's more of like a padded top kind of thing. And I was wearing that with a nipple pad, but my boob was so big and I was lying on my side. So I was kind of squishing it.
You can't sleep on your side. It kills.
Yes, it was. I was soaked. I felt like I had bruises all over my boob. I went upstairs and I was literally standing over his bed, like giving him these looks, like wake up, and he wouldn't wake up. So then I went and like released myself a little bit. But anyway, that was just a random story.
Seriously, it's a real thing, though.
It's full on. Anyway, make sure if you ever feel that feeling, you get rid of some of that milk. You have had mastitis, haven't you?
I have. Yeah.
Not fun.
Not fun. Yeah, not fun.
I've been able to avoid it so far, so fingers crossed I continued.
This would.
Yeah. So we hope that helped you. Let's move on to the next D&M. She says, I'm stuck. I'm 26 years old. My partner and I have been together for almost 5 years. We have lived together for about 4 years. We own a house, a cat and a dog together, which is great, and it's exactly what I wanted my life to look like. My partner and I keep talking about when we want to have kids. I keep telling him that I don't want to have kids until I get a ring. Haha. I think many of my friends have said the same thing.
Sounds familiar.
But I think that this could be pretty soon. How exciting. My question is that I'm confused on my career path and I haven't found exactly what my dream job is, but I think I want to be a PE teacher. I currently work in a full-time job in my field. I have
not in my field.
Oh, shoot.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I currently work in a full-time job. Not in my field. I've completed a degree in health and another postgrad in... Oh, gosh.
Good on you. A degree in health and another postgrad in health.
That's amazing. If I decide that I want to go back to uni to do teaching, then it would probably be another 2 years full-time or possibly 4 years part-time. I know I shouldn't be worried, but I was hoping that I would have found my dream job by now and been in it long enough that by the time I turn 30, I'd be ready to have kids. My partner keeps asking me if I was at uni or haven't found my dream career by the time we're ready to have kids, will I make him wait? Or will I be happy to fall pregnant while studying? It sounds silly to think everything else in my life is great, but I just feel my career is lacking for me to be fulfilled. I have always loved health, but I never knew what I wanted to do when I left school, but my mum was super pushy for me to pick something up. So I'm just trying to figure it out along the way. So the question is, should I try and find a job with the qualifications I have, or should I go back to uni and try teaching? Did you feel like you needed everything in your life to be sorted before being ready to have kids? I'd really appreciate your help. So I think the biggest question in this is like, did you feel like you needed everything in your life sorted before having kids? Did you personally feel like you had to be?
Quick, I feel like we can bring two really great points of view on this. As point of reference, I'm 32.
Mm-hmm.
No, and I still don't have everything sorted.
Yeah.
Are you 26?
27.
27. But yeah, the short answer is no. Mm,
yep.
But I think we've all been through waves where we've thought this.
Yeah, where you thought that that was something that you had to, yeah.
Do this, do that. So many things on great detail, by the way.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, like having kids, people say like you're never fully ready. I think there's a big point to that. But I think you just have to be emotionally ready and you have to be ready as a couple.
That's what I was going to say. I think the first question is, do you want kids?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it sounds like obviously her partner does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does she?
Mm-hmm.
Are you both ready to have kids? Mm-hmm. That's a decision they need to be on the same page about.
Yeah.
And I think another question to ask too is when you do have children, what role will you each play?
Yeah, exactly.
And what's the expectations that you each have around that?
100%. Have to have that conversation.
If he was really supportive, then it wouldn't be an issue because she could keep studying.
Mm-hmm.
Is his job flexible?
Mm-hmm.
Those conversations need to be had because if she wants to continue a career, I know for both you and I, I love what I do.
Yeah.
And our work is really important to us.
Mm.
And so my husband knows that, Josh knows that, and they're really supportive of that.
Yeah.
But she needs to talk, they need to talk about what that's going to look like for them.
Yeah, and I think, you know, absolutely you can study and have a baby. You can, you know, change your career at 50 if you want to. Yeah. Like you absolutely do not have to have your career sorted by the time you have kids. So I think don't worry about, you know, the decision of like trying to find a job now with the qualifications or going back to uni, that's really up to you and it should have nothing to do with your decision to have a baby. Try and put the having a baby totally aside for now and work out, are you happy, you know, continuing in the job path you're doing, or do you really, really want to get into teaching and you really want to study? Then take that path. Forget about babies for now. I mean, unless the conversations you're having are right now, this second, do you want to have a baby? Then obviously it comes
don't
into play.
Don't feel pressured either.
But don't feel pressured, yeah. And
any decision.
Absolutely. And I just, but I do think that the main thing is just making sure that you're both on the same page.
Yeah.
If you want to be studying full time and you want to do that with having a baby, then yeah, obviously your partner or you have to have family help or there's ways around it.
There's lots of different ways of doing it too. Mm. I think with social media now, we get this perfect picture of what I think it looks like to have kids.
Yeah.
And I think we shouldn't sugarcoat that, yes, it's hard, but if you have a really strong, stable relationship where people know their roles and you have a support network around you, it doesn't have to be family. It could just be some really great friends, a great mother's group, something like that. But I think it's important to stress that having a baby won't solve all your problems.
100%.
In fact, it actually
complicates
things, but it also takes your relationship to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
It takes your selfishness completely away.
yep.
But I think, you just really have to focus on it will bring a lot of perspective and you could really focus on what your values are and when the right time maybe to expand your family is. I mean, they've got a cat and a dog and a house and she's almost got a ring, so it's all happening. But I think the other thing is so many people I know have changed their careers after having kids because they've found this whole new world.
Yeah.
Like look how you and Laura have evolved your business over the years. Mm. Nothing's what it starts out being anymore.
No.
You could have kids and your interest in health is what she said she's interested in. You could go down a whole new path.
Yeah.
Your career could completely change because you could find a whole new audience and a whole new community and find this gap that there's something that you're really interested in children's health or something like that. So I feel like we shouldn't limit ourselves.
Yeah.
And once you become a mum, your life is not over.
No.
Your career does not end. You don't have to have it all figured out.
No. And even if you go back to uni and you study for teaching and then you have a baby and you decide, I don't want to teach anymore, I want to do something else, that's so fine. Even if you end up back where you are now, it's fine.
It's fine.
You could be so many different directions.
A full-time mum, you could work part-time, you could work full-time. Mm-hmm. We're so kind of – I know there is a bit more pressure on women these days to do it all.
Yeah.
But we're also really lucky that we're encouraged to do what we want.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed.
So, like, you could look at that two different ways.
Absolutely. Anyway.
So go for it, girlfriend.
Yeah, go for it. Do you do you.
You do you. That's what we always end our conversations with 100%. The mothers group. You do you.
Well, it's because – but even, you know, talking to you and Tracy, like, as you said, we all have some similarities. But there is also different things that we are doing. I mean, even down to the dummies that our babies take.
Oh, I solved dummy gate.
Did you? Yes. Oh.
Thank the Lord.
So Em's bub, Jack, had one dummy that he particularly liked above all else.
Because the dog chewed the other one that was the same.
And he'd sucked it so much that it was like this huge cherry on the end. And now he wouldn't take any other dummies. But we've solved it.
Well, so we quickly express ordered some others in all these different sizes to see if one fit. And now we found the right one.
Amazing.
So I'm like literally going home and ordering about 10 more of those ones. Dummies ain't cheap.
No. But that's like a perfect example. I mean, not the perfect example, but it's an example of how babies are different because all three of our babies take completely different dummies, as in like the difference in the teat are so different. It just goes to show that there's not one size fits all. Yeah.
There is.
I'm proud of that.
Different nipples, different teats, different dummies.
So, Em, I just threw another couple of questions in here because I feel like these I think are questions that would probably come up in a mother's group chat anyway. But is there anything about motherhood that's surprised you so far?
I think how instinctive it is.
Mm.
You know, when you've got other people's babies and you're happy to hand them back. I love kids, but I was never super clucky around babies. Mm-hmm. But just instinctively, I'm Jack's mom. I know what he needs. I know what he wants.
Yeah.
It's kind of so awesome.
Yeah.
Do you find that?
Yeah, 100%. Like I think
you got
you're
the biggest
so right.
smile on your face.
Which yeah, because it I'm just like, makes yeah. sense. Like you're so right when I've held other babies and stuff like that. You know, I love them and it's like I'm happy to, but there's no way I'd be able to tell like a grunt between a cry or like, you know, if he's hungry or, you know. But now that I've had Harvey, I just know what he needs or wants, or even if I take a guess, like it's usually right and it's just crazy. I think trusting my instincts has been a huge learning for me in this process because I think I felt like I needed to go into it really prepared and like read up all on these books and, you know, how to be a mum and like all that sort of stuff. But really, I think especially even talking to you guys again, you know, talking to other mums, it made me realize how many different ways there are to do things, and you're just going to do what works for you and your bub. And I think it surprised me how exactly what you said, how instinctive I am, how I just know what to do. I'd never changed a nappy before Harvey.
Really?
Yeah. He was my first nappy.
So good.
So like little things like that, you know, I mean, there's been more things that have been first times, but I've just been able to do instinctively and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you just know what they speak a language and it's crazy that you know it.
And even if you get things wrong.
It doesn't matter.
You've just got this connection. Actually, I've read something. There was like this thing that was shared. I ended up sharing it on my stories. I'll have to find it again. But it was this really beautiful kind of artwork and it was about – and then there was like a whole long description on Instagram. And it was about how because their genes are running through our blood – sorry, their genetics are running through our blood, like all their blood's running through our blood or whatever it is while they're in our belly. Mums just have this ultimate connection to their bub once they're born, because they've still got that part of them. And it even happens to mum who, you know, unfortunately, you know, lose their baby, whether it's a miscarriage or later in their pregnancy, like they still have that running through them, and there's this ultimate connection. And I just thought it was so beautiful because it really makes a lot of sense to me as to why I'm feeling so connected to Harvey over any other baby I've met in my life.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter. I think people put a lot of emphasis on feed. You've got to feed to make this connection. You've got to breastfeed. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. No. Yeah. They're your baby.
Yeah.
You'll be connected.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Just do whatever works. I think I didn't anticipate one thing that surprised me. I didn't anticipate the physical toll that pregnancy and childbirth would have on my body.
Yeah. Agreed.
And probably emotionally more as well as physically more than anything. I think I've never gone through any body issues in my life. I've been really lucky like that. But I felt so vulnerable after having Jack, and just just reminding myself to be kind to my body and really looking after it post-birth.
Yeah.
You just don't, because you're like, I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I had all these, you know, infections, and I went on so many antibiotics, and then I got mastitis. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I don't have time for this. So I've got a baby to look after, and you're going through all this pain, but you kind of just you have to push it aside.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just didn't anticipate how much, even now, 4 months later, physically, your body just cops it.
Yeah. Yeah. You just feel different, don't you?
Oh,
yeah.
I feel like, I mean, like, yeah, your body's just need massages like every single week.
I really need to book in like a good – I mean, I've been to the physio a couple of times, which has been great, but I feel like I need to have like an hour-long firm but relaxing massage. I need to do that for myself, I think.
Oh, osteo has changed my life in terms of that, just releasing that tension from your neck, your shoulders, your back. But, yeah, you've got to look after yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. What about you?
I mean, what you said about, you know, instincts and everything, that really hit the nail on the head for me. But I think also, I think I'm surprised. I feel like I'm really proud. I feel like I'm doing good.
You are doing good. I tell you this all the time.
But I feel like there's also no, you can't do anything wrong as well. Like, I want to, you know, really emphasize that everyone is doing great. I think no matter what's happening with you and your baby, you're doing great, whatever you do. If you get out of bed, you're doing great. But I feel really proud because, and again, to that instinct kind of thing, I just feel like things are coming naturally, and it's really exciting for me because it was always a dream of mine to be a mum. And I think now that I am, and it's kind of working out to be what I'd kind of always dreamed of, it's just a really nice feeling, because I know, and I'm really lucky to say that, because I know there's so many women who struggle, you know, after birth, whether it's postnatal depression or this, you know, so many struggles that people go through because it might not be what they expected. So I completely acknowledge that. But yeah, it's just been really nice, and I think I'm just surprised at how I'm dealing with it. And I'm not dealing 100% with 100% awesomely with it. Like, mentally, have had my struggles. I've had my days. I might wake up on the wrong side of the bed, or, you know,
which is allowed. You that you've got to give yourself rest days too.
Yeah. So, and I think that's what I've learned as well. I think I was pushing myself a little bit too much. I think I got excited. I was like, I've got this. I'm doing real good. So like, now I'm just going to try and do everything again. And very quickly learned that. It's probably not the best idea so soon after birth. But, yeah, I think just I feel like I've been able to tune into myself really well, and I thought I wasn't going to be able to recognise myself, but I've been able to, which is nice.
That's so good. Because I know you've been really open about your journey, so I think that's amazing that you can come out the other side and say that. Mm. We don't give ourselves enough compliments, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, bloody oath, we're doing good.
Yeah.
We're killing it.
Yeah.
You know?
We're on our own, like, right now. So many women, like, I mean, and you know what? I totally understand the guilt with leaving your kid.
I haven't stopped thinking about him. Guilt is a thing.
It's absolutely a thing. Like, even being able to leave the house without them, like, good on you if you're doing that.
You just feel bad.
Yeah, I know.
Like, so I booked in for us to spend a night away from Jack. My mum's going to look after him. And Dan was like, my husband, he's like, are you sure it's not too soon? And I was like, don't make me feel guilty about this.
Yeah.
He didn't mean it like that, but I was like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I need this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be a better mum.
Yeah.
If I get one night's sleep.
It's so true.
You know, you have to accept help.
Yeah.
And, yeah, mum guilt is definitely a thing.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think it's, like, really good. I think I shared something on Instagram the other day where people were like, don't come at me with the you just wait. You say you had a good day, you had a great night, and they're like, you just wait. Don't wait till that. And I'm like, shut up.
Yeah, yeah. Don't you wait till they're teething, or wait till the 4 month regression, or whatever it is. Like, it's
no. I'll just, some days are good, and I'll celebrate them.
Yeah,
because some days are not good, and they're very emotional, and you don't feel like you can do anything right, and you get frustrated, and then you feel guilty for getting frustrated because they're just a baby,
exactly.
But it's normal to get frustrated.
Yeah.
I don't think we're always like, of course you always love the baby. Yeah. That is never in question.
No.
Obviously, if you're going through some of those stages, you should definitely, you know, there are a lot of resources available for help.
Reach out.
Like, it's okay to not love some days.
Yeah.
I think I sent that to you. That there was this post on Tiny Hearts.
So good.
It just was like, it's okay to not love every day.
Yeah.
But you can still love your baby.
Absolutely.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah. Thank God someone
said
that. Oh,
thank goodness, because some days are really shit.
I know, absolutely.
And I just call my mum, like, can you just come on?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And you can't explain why, and then the next day is completely fine.
Yeah. And just go into every day and every night with no expectation, and then you'll be okay.
Yeah. You need tell your partner, like, what you need.
Yeah.
Like, I was always really like, can you compliment me more? Yeah. I said that. I'm like, I need you to compliment me. Like, I need to feel like a little bit. I know I'm not super sexy right now.
Just tell me I am.
I'm like, just tell me I am. Just tell me this diaper looks good on me. You know, just like, you got to communicate with what you need.
Yeah.
I think week one, Dan turned to me and he was like, I can't read your mind.
Yeah, that's what, oh my God, Josh said the exact same thing. He's like, because I'd get frustrated.
Yeah.
And I'd say something, I'd kind of snap at him for, like, I don't know, not getting me.
Not getting you a wipe or a diaper or like a nappy or something.
And
or
he's
not
like,
knowing
are
what.
You kidding?
Like, I'm undressing him, like, get me the blanket, yeah, get me the clothes.
The next step,
come on.
So, like, just do it.
And
oh my God.
Yeah. The same thing.
Yeah.
Because you're so tired that you think what you're thinking in your brain is coming out of your mouth.
Yeah. Not
and that they have the same instincts as you do, but they don't.
No.
Yeah, he did. He turned to me, he's like, I can't read your mind.
Yeah.
Tell me exactly whatever you want. And then I was like, just felt like I was just ordering him around all the time. But I'm like, you told me to.
Yeah. So true. What about like life before being a mum? Is there anything you're particularly missing?
Just time to myself.
Mm.
Really simply, like having a shower for me is so relaxing.
Yeah.
It's like heaven.
Yeah.
Because you just and then you miss them. But
yeah, it's true. Then you have the monitor up like next to you in the shower. But yeah.
You just crave time to yourself.
Yeah.
Not that you want to do anything other than be with them, but it's just more just to like rest.
Yeah.
And sleep obviously is an easy one. I'm sure that'll come soon, but yeah, just spontaneity, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. Flexibility and spontaneity.
Yeah.
That's kind of gone now. It's all right. It'll come back one
It'll
day.
It'll come
hopefully.
Back. But, it's just a stage.
No, I agree. And see, I was someone who really needed and loved my alone time. Like alone. Like have a bath, read a book, go for a walk. I needed to be alone. And Josh is kind of the opposite. He really loves being surrounded by people. And so I think something I've struggled with is when I want alone time, I really probably should be splitting that with alone time with Josh.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because we've really, it's hard. You've really got to prioritize time with your partner through, like if you've got a partner, if you're not doing it alone, when you're not with your baby, as much as you absolutely should prioritize alone time, you also do need to think about time with your partner because that fell by the wayside for us.
We've not been good at that.
Yeah.
We've not been good at that. It's kind of like we call it shift work.
Mm.
So he'll take Jack for a walk so I can have a shower.
Yep.
And just for me, I think some people don't care, but just for me, I don't know, I can't operate in an untidy space.
That's like Josh.
I'm like, I just need a shower and like, clean the house, like just get out of here so I can clean it. I don't know why, I just need to do that.
Yeah.
But, we haven't been able to have time, the two of us,
as yet. But that's something that we have, even staying up a bit later.
Yeah.
Because we both love sleep, so we'll literally go to bed at 8:30.
Yeah.
But trying to just stay up a bit later, like we had a bath together the other night.
Yeah,
or nice. Like staying up a little bit later to just chat in
to
bed.
To chat.
Or like have a cuddle.
Yeah, I know.
So nice. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I've missed you.
Yeah.
But I'm way less physical. Like I'm always like a physical touch person. Mm. Like cuddle me, kiss me, like give me lots of affection. Mate, I do not just don't touch me.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Like I have enough. I have something attached to me all day. Love him. Yeah. Super cuddly. Adorable.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to cuddle you at the end of the
day. Yeah, no, it's funny because we spoke about this at the, you know, in the mother's group, and I'm sure a lot of people listening will be able to relate, hopefully. But, you know, we have, I hope you don't mind me saying, Em, we've both had sex for the first time since having a baby. And it was an interesting thing because for me it was like I had no, this has got nothing to do with Josh, but I had no interest in sex. Like I just wasn't thinking about it. I was not thinking
You're
about
exhausted.
It whatsoever. But then when we did it, I was like, far out, I miss feeling close to you.
Yeah.
And it's like you just need to force yourself force yourself is not the right wording. You need to just
force
kind of step
while both
into
being
it.
Willing parties.
Yeah. With consent. You just need to kind of make time for those things. It doesn't have to be sex, but like time
Intimacy.
Alone together.
Yeah.
And then you realize how good it is and how much it recharges you and everything, but you got to make that time because if you don't, it always does come to that, like, yeah, at the end of the night you've put them down and you just kind of like, I should be asleep right now, so no, don't touch me, let's go to bed. Like that is such a quick excuse.
Then you start, I feel like if you start getting, you start fighting over the little stupid things.
Absolutely.
When you don't have that intimacy.
100%.
And you're just both tired, you're not communicating, like stupid things start bothering you. It's like you just need to reset, come back together.
Have a hug.
Have a little cuddle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then all is good in the world again.
It's so true.
And tomorrow is a new day and you do it all over again.
Absolutely. It is a bit like a Groundhog Day, isn't it?
It does.
Whilst like every day is different, you know, like no babies in an absolute, I mean, if there is a baby out there, there's in an absolutely perfect routine.
Olive's
I'd like to meet
perfect.
Them. Actually, yeah, Tracy's baby, Olive.
Shout out, Tracy.
Gosh, she's a little angel,
we
isn't she?
We love her. We're always like, oh, I've been up all night. We're like, Tracy won't write back at 3 in the morning. Love you, Tracy.
We love you. But, you know, it's just every day is another day. Go into it with no expectation and you'll be right. And I think above all, with this whole conversation we've had today, it's really important to connect with others.
Yeah.
You know?
You do you.
You do you. You'll realise that the more people you connect with, there is so many ways
to do it.
To do it. But anyway, we hope you guys have enjoyed today's chat. Thank you so much, Em, for joining me.
Thank
now
you
can race home and give Jack a cuddle for me. You're like, I might just sit in my car alone for a while.
Like, that's actually what I was thinking.
I went to the supermarket the other day and I literally sat in the car park for like 10 minutes at least, just sitting there on my phone.
Do you know what I heard? You should do click and collect, but don't tell Josh and say you're going to the supermarket.
That's, I mean, I was going to say we've started to do that. No. Maybe I'll just be like, no, I forgot to do it today. And then just sit there.
Just sit in the supermarket.
Luckily, I know Josh doesn't always listen to these podcasts. Well, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we hope you guys enjoyed that chat. We will be back next Wednesday with another KickPod episode. If you'd like to find out more about Keeper Cleaner or even sign up for our free trial, you can head to www.keepercleaner.com.au. A reminder that we still have tickets available for the Kick Tour, so you can check them out too. If you'd like to find out more about us or just hear or see more of us, you can find us on Instagram at Keeper Cleaner, at Laura.Henshaw, at Steph Claire Smith. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.